We've been going through the book of Amos. And I'm guessing if you've not been with us for this series, it's a book of the Bible you might not have spent a lot of time in. It's a pretty short book, one of the prophets in the Old Testament. And quite frankly, those that have been reading along with us have read it and said, that's kind of discouraging. The message that God had for Amos to give to the people of Israel and the people of Judah was not a very positive message because they had rebelled against God. They had lived disobediently. They had done things that, well, had rejected God and were not aligning with what God wanted. And so throughout this series, we've looked at the ways that God has called to us to follow him and to live as obedient children of his. But I've told you each week that the book really is a positive book. It really does have a positive ending, and sometimes we stop before we get there. And as we consider this theme today of welcome home, I want you to recognize that it's not a theme that's original with me or with us here at Deer Run. In fact, it's a theme that God has been calling to each of us throughout our entire life. It's a theme that God called to the people of Israel and Judah through the prophet of Amos. He warned them. He gave them the consequences of sin. He would tell them that sin is always going to separate them from God, and it will always have consequences that are, as we talked about early in the series, that are more costly than what we could ever realize. But we get to the end of the book of Amos. These last few verses in Amos chapter 9, beginning at verse 11. We discover that God's desire and God's plan has always been to shine a light on the path home. That even when he has to come along and say, you're straying away, you're disobedient children, you're not living like you ought to live. All of those messages of conviction were designed not to condemn the people, but to help them to see the way home. And so we get to Amos chapter 9, beginning at verse 11. God is giving this message to the people in the days of Amos as well as to us. He says, in that day I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken pieces. I will restore its ruins and build it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom. And all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do all of these things. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman, the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from the hills. I will bring back my exiled people Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I had given them, says the Lord your God. As I looked at that passage, as I considered what it looked like to be called by God, and we've talked about this throughout this series, that God calls ordinary people to do extraordinary work. And the reason that he does that is because that's all he has, is ordinary people. And so he takes people like Amos, the shepherd and fig farmer that turned prophet to proclaim God's word. He takes people like you. He takes people like me. And he says, through the power of God's Spirit, we're going to do extraordinary things. So when we come together, we recognize that God has illuminated this path. And as he spoke throughout the prophet and the book of Amos, we discover that God's correction is always designed for our good. And as those that have been called by God, and if you're wondering if that's you, the answer is yes. God has called all peoples to himself. It's up to us whether we respond or not. It's not that there are some that are called by God and some that are just ignored. And so we recognize that as those called by God, our response is dependent upon us receiving what God has given us. And so today we're going to talk about being called by God and finding this home of hope. When I think about this welcome home theme and coming back to Deer Run and being a part of a body of Christ, that theme of home definitely rang throughout my preparation. But as I kept diving into that, I kept thinking, what is it about home that is unique? And so this past week, at the end of the week, I had asked that question on Facebook, and a lot of great answers. That home is that place that has love, that has acceptance, that has peace, that has comfort, that has family and people, that has dogs. And we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school class this morning. You know, somebody was asking, why do we call dog man's best friend? And we talked about how non-judgmental dogs generally are compared to people. But all of those characteristics were great characteristics, and they all define to me what makes a place home. But I said, how do I boil that down so that we're not here 3 days covering all of these topics? And I decided home is a place of hope. All of this stuff, the love, the acceptance, the comfort, the peace, the dogs, they're all part of the hope that God has called us to live with. And when I look at this message that God has given to us through the prophet Amos, after nearly 9 chapters of dreadful warnings, God comes along and says, but don't give up, there's hope. And so this morning we're going to, if you're guest or visitor, my typical sermons use a word as the outline for an acrostic so that you can take that word home and hopefully remember the points and put them into practice. And so today's word is hope. So what does it look like to have a home of hope? Whether it's a home within the church family, whether it's a home within where you live. And so I want us to look at these 4 things that I believe God told the prophet Amos to share with us. The first part about a home of hope is that it's a home of help. If you recognize that verse 11, it says, in that day I will restore David's fallen tent, I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord. You catch who was doing it? God says, in those days I will do it. I will help. I will be the one that provides what you can't do. And so many times we stop short of being the home that we ought to be because we realize we've reached the wall that we can't keep doing. And this home of hope says God's Spirit is willing to step in through us and accomplish what we can't do. It's back to that ordinary person. This past Friday, there were a group of people that volunteered to do some cleanup and things inside and outside of the building. And you pick the hottest day of the year and decide we're going to trim edge sidewalks and do trimming outside and things in here. But all of that took place. And when I went out and I looked at what had been accomplished, I said, wow. Because a group had decided what we can't do individually, we can do together. And we can help one another. And that realization that this body, this home, this family requires the work of many people. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul writes and he says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all given the same one Spirit. And when we begin to realize that God has called us into this one home, we realize that God's desire is that we help one another. God's word tells us that we should bear one another's burdens, that we carry one another's burdens, that we help those who are weak. And so this home of hope is a home of help. And it begins by us receiving God's help. You know, what we're able to accomplish on our own power and strength and might, well, to some it may look impressive. And to some it may not look like much. But when we decide and determine individually and as a body of Christ that we will operate by the power of God's Spirit, then what gets accomplished far exceeds anything that we could ever do on our own. And so we begin by seeking God's help in everything we do. So when the elders get together, we get together and we pray for the congregation. We ask God to help. To help with your needs, to help with our leading, to help with everything that gets done. Because we recognize that this home of hope is a home of help. And we need God's help. And as you begin to recognize the needs around you, as I think about Brett and Ingrid and this vast need that was fairly short term, we need this money quickly or we can't go home. And if we can't go home, then the bill just keeps going up. And it wasn't something that any single person did. There might have been single people that could have accomplished that, but it's not how it happened. It was God's body, God's children, God's family working together and saying, this is a home of help. So people would give $5, people would give $10, people would give $100, people would give what God convicted them to give. And that home of help brought great hope. But not only is this a home of help, it's also a home of opportunity. As I read verse 13, you know, for some you may read that, you may have heard that, and you think, what in the world is he talking about? And it might have helped a little bit that I grew up on a farm and some of these terms made a little bit more sense to me than someone that without a farm background. But he says, the days are coming when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman, the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. Now, when I read that, I thought, well, why would the reaper be overtaken by the plowman? I was like, well, they're still harvesting because there was such an abundance that it's time to plow and prepare the fields for the next harvest, and we haven't even finished the last one. You talk about opportunity. When God called his people out of Egypt, he says, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to supply what you need. God comes along and says, this home of hope is a home of opportunity. The problem with opportunity is, as someone famous once said, that it often shows up dressed in overalls and work boots. But this home of opportunity says there's a place not only for you to be, there's a place for you to be involved. And so many times we look at life and we get busy, and I'm guilty as much as anyone else. It's like, I don't want to do anything else. I don't want to do more. I want to sit back and take it easy. But what I've discovered is when we realize this home of opportunity, when we determine to invest ourselves into the body of Christ, we reap more than what we sow. And so to be here Friday night and the fellowship that took place, the work that got done, the incredible opportunity that existed because somebody says, hey, can we help? And if you're looking for something to do, and they talked about that the other night, talk to Paul Stearns about ways that you can help get the building ready each week. There's always room for people to have opportunity to say, hey, what can I do? And we've been working on that, and we've been praying through these time to serve sheets as we've looked at ministry teams and have begun some of those conversations, and we'll continue those conversations on the opportunities that exist. But God says the opportunities are often overflowing. Jesus comes along and he puts it this way, to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers into his harvest field. Why? Well, because the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. The opportunity exists to be involved. The opportunity exists to represent Jesus well among one another. One of the great things about growing up on the farm is my parents always gave me and my brothers and my sister plenty of opportunities to work. Now, I can tell you as a 10, 11, 12-year-old, I was not appreciative of that. But as a 13 and 14-year-old, with my eyes looking ahead to a driver's license, I appreciated having opportunities to work because I ended up being able to buy a car before I even had a driver's license. But we recognize the opportunities to be involved, and once we're involved, we realize the rewards far outweigh the investment. And within the body of Christ, that looks like a lot of different things. It looks like sending cards. It looks like making phone calls. It looks like cleaning bathrooms. It looks like edging the sidewalk. It looks like whatever. Teaching children. It looks like cleaning up. It looks like preparing for meals. It looks like serving your neighbor. It looks like praying for your coworker. And the great news about this home of hope, that it's a home of opportunity that overflows so that there's a place for everyone. Back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says down in verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has placed apostles and prophets and teachers and workers of miracles and those who heal and those that are able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those that speak in different languages. Are all apostles or prophets or teachers or miracle workers? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak languages? Do all interpret?" Of course not. But he goes on in verse 31, "But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way." If you're familiar with 1 Corinthians, that's how chapter 12 ends. Chapter 13 is what we often refer to as the love chapter, because that's that message of opportunity. That's that message of the excellent way. And so we live in this home of hope. When we live in a home of help, we live in a home of opportunity. We also live in a home of protection. Verse 14 of Amos 9 says, "I will bring back my exiled people, Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will make gardens and eat their fruit." God says, "As I call my people home, it will be a home where they are protected, that they can rebuild, and not only can they rebuild their cities and live there, they can plant gardens and their garden will not be devoured by the enemy." Now, at least in our case, the garden gets planted and it gets devoured by the deer. I don't know if they're the enemy or not, but they were protected from those that had been oppressing them. And I think sometimes we look at that, and I want you to be clear that this home of protection does not mean that nothing bad ever happens to those that belong to God. The protection is bigger than that. It's much broader than that. The home of protection that God talks about with the people of Israel and with Judah through the prophet Amos is the same home of protection that God calls us to. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Jesus is praying for those of his followers in John chapter 14. He's praying for us. And he says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will give you my spirit to watch over you, to guide you, to counsel you, to convict you, to encourage you, to do all of the things that my absence will not be doing. Because my absence will not be noticed because I will be with you through my Spirit. And so when God says this home of hope is a home of protection, he's talking about protecting us spiritually. He's talking about protecting us from the forces of evil. We read this passage that talks about the armor of God, and we've talked about that in past weeks. And the reason that we put on the whole armor of God is because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but is against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly realms. So that's the big protection we need. Jesus says, what does it profit a person if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And so if our physical body is protected, if our possessions are protected, if we don't lose anything, but we've not protected our spiritual life, we have lost everything. And this home of hope is a home of protection because we encourage one another, we challenge one another. We, as we've talked about last week, I believe it was, that we confront one another in love. Privately, we talked about that. We don't humiliate others. But that's part of this home, that we're able to sit down across from one another and say, you know, that wasn't appropriate. That needs to change. Let me help you. Let me pray with you. Let me bring you the assistance that you need. It's being a part of that body, a part of that home, that realizes there's something more important than just living a long life. And that's the final point. This home of hope is not only a home of help, it's not only a home of opportunity and protection, but it's a home of eternity. That final verse in Amos chapter 9 says, I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them. You look at history and you realize that that promise is not about a piece of land here on earth. That promise is about placing God's people in eternity with God. Never to be taken away, never to be uprooted, never to be grasped away or sent into exile. You see, this home of eternity is a home that says, well, that says this world is not my home. As the old song says, I'm just a passing through. And when we begin to live with that mentality, when we begin to live with the realization that home here is temporary, home there is eternal, it changes how we use, or at least it ought to change how we use the stuff of this earth. There's times where I've had an opportunity to do something and I've evaluated and it's like, I just can't. Years and years ago, my wife and I were down in Key West. We did 40 years ago, and it was a different town than what it is now, but there was this trip that you could take a seaplane out to some islands beyond Key West that were incredible, and I don't know, it was like $99, and we were fairly broke newlyweds, and it's like, I just can't spend that much money. And now as you look at it and think, why not? Wasted opportunity. And sometimes I think we get so caught up in holding on to the possessions of this earth that we miss the opportunities to do good, to bless our families, to bless one another, to be that encouragement. I think about those that responded to Brett's plea. Somewhere along the line, instead of saying, I need another hamburger, I'm going to give money to help this baby get out of the hospital. Because they could recognize their home wasn't simply here, but it was an eternal home that says this stuff is going to perish someday anyhow. And I recognize we need finances, we need to pay our bills, we need all kinds of things. But my encouragement, when you consider this home of hope, consider holding those things rather loosely, realizing that there's something better coming. this morning as we consider what it looks like to live in this home of hope. It's been my prayer throughout this series and my knowing this is where we were headed as I laid the series out, that Dear One is that home of hope for you, because it is that home of hope for me. It is a home of help. It is a home of opportunity. It is a home of protection. It is a home of eternity, because we lift up Jesus and we draw people to Him. This morning, as we come to a time of decision, the question for every one of us is, what kind of home are you living in? Do you have a home of hope? And I realize that this world that we live in, there are many who are living in homes, physical homes, that lack hope. There are many children within our community that live in a home that hope does not exist. And that ought to break our hearts. That ought to cause us to change how we view people, so that we can be that hope through the message of Jesus. But if you're here today and you're in one of those homes that it just feels hopeless, I want you to know that there is hope in Jesus. It's not a quick fix, panacea, solve everything that goes wrong problem solver. Not in the way the world thinks. But it does transform us from the inside out. And it gives us a family. But for many that are here this morning, I would guess that we believe in Jesus. We're a part of that home of hope. What are we doing about it? How are we living differently than what the world lives? Oh, it's easy to come here. Well, it's easy when you come here to sing praises, to talk hope, to encourage, to be encouraged. Tuesday night's often a different story. You're all alone. Temptation comes in this form or that form. And there's nobody around. It's when you need that reminder that you are still part of a home. Perhaps you're here today and God has called you to be more helpful. There might be a specific situation that you've put off, that you've ignored, that you've said, I'm not going to do that. And you realize today that God says you belong to a home of help. So be help. Sometimes we're too proud to ask for help, and we need to. God wants us. Perhaps you're here today and you've not made the most of the opportunities. The Bible tells us that we should make the most of every opportunity, because the days that we live in are evil. Perhaps His calling to you this morning through this message is to pay attention, to make those opportunities count. Perhaps you're here today and you have been struggling with maintaining relationship with God. The enemy just keeps dragging you away, and it just seems harder and harder to claw your way back. And you need the protection, the spiritual protection of God's Spirit, but also the spiritual protection of a family of believers around you. And maybe today God's calling you to take advantage of that protection, to claim it as yours, perhaps to be that protection for someone else. Perhaps today that decision revolves around holding things loosely as you consider a home of eternity. Whatever it is, if you have a decision that God is calling you to make today, I pray that you make it before you leave. If you need to talk to someone about that decision, you can come as we sing a song of decision and meet me in a room over here to my left, or you can get a hold of me, talk to me during the meal or after the service. Talk to a brother or sister that's around you. The great news is we can't do this life alone. The good news is we don't have to. We have this home, and it's a home of hope. Whatever your decision is today, I pray that you make it. If you need to talk with someone again, you're welcome to come as we stand and as we sing.